Parents, welcome to another episode of The Journey, a podcast intended to educate, equip, and entertain you as we talk about important issues facing our families. PCA is a Christ-centered, biblically-based, and family-focused community of committed believers doing life together. We hope the information you hear on this podcast informs and inspires you to be a better parent. Welcome to The Journey.
Parents, I'm really excited about this particular episode of The Journey. It's about our Mini-Mester program. And some people may think about Mini-Mester as a week-long mission trip, but it's so much more than that. When I came here 19 years ago, I can just tell you, I want to be honest, I was not sure about sending kids all over the globe, as Dr. Goddard is going to share, just from a safety, security concern issue. And I was like, you know, are kids ready for this? But in the 19 years that I've been here at PCA, I have watched the Mini-Mester program change the lives of our students and our community, and not just in the locations that they went to, but in the students themselves. When they come back, they're different because of the trips that they've been on, because of the work that they've done, because of the ministry, and really because they've seen God at work in their lives and through them. So Mini-Mester program is an incredible opportunity for us to carry out the Great Commission, to evangelize, to minister, to train people, and to serve with the love of Jesus Christ. It's an incredible program, and I'm excited to share with you, our parents, about what this program is all about. You're going to hear from some students, some faculty, and then Dr. Goddard, and just our school's perspective on the incredible Mini-Mester program. All right, I've got Blake Dunham with me now. You're a sophomore. You got to go on the Cuba Mini-Mester trip. Tell me a little bit about your perspective on some of the things that happened on that particular trip.
Okay, so first thing that I definitely noticed just right off the plane was the culture. Everyone in Cuba is so inviting and hospitable, so interactions were fairly easy with the locals. And we were in those towns where everything was kind of open, everyone's door was open. But they already had the local church that we were partnering with. They had houses set up for us and people to talk to and to pray over, members of the church, and also people that maybe had family members praying for them, that they would hear the gospel from maybe someone that was away, and like someone outside from Cuba that would spark their interest in the gospel to wonder, why is this person from another school in the U.S. coming to Cuba to talk to me about the gospel? That seems weird. So that was very interesting to see how they reacted to that and our presence just being there from another country. But there's also like more specific stories that I can share.
Yeah. Now, Pastor Gilberto helped kind of lead this trip and arrange it, right? What was it like to be with him, to see him kind of return back to his home country?
He's great, first of all. Love Pastor Gilberto. Great to meet him. He was doing pastor stuff some of the time, but he also knew some of the people that we were with because he's from Cuba, obviously. We went to some of, I think, one of the seminaries where he worked before he moved to the U.S. He was saying we visited that, so he met some of his old friends. But I wasn't in his group specifically, but when we were in the services, he led one of our services, and that was really cool to see his influence and how well he conversed with the people there. Yeah. And he was able to connect very easily because he had been of that culture. He understood kind of what was going on.
Yeah. What were kind of some of the things that happened that you thought were unique, just experiences that you got to observe or hear about?
Well, first of all, in Pastor Gilberto's group, I wasn't in that group, but I heard this testimony. He was telling me and a few of the other guys in our group that there was an old woman who her legs weren't working and she had some blisters or something. She said they were hurting and they went to go and pray for her about that. She was a member of the church that we were partnering with. And after they prayed with her about her legs and them being healed and that she would return to health, she stood up and praised the Lord and started jumping up and down, which I think is just a great testimony, healing power right there.
Yeah.
I really wish I would have got to witness it, but it's a really cool story to hear about
that. Yeah, you did get to witness a different kind of healing power. Instead of a physical healing power, a spiritual healing. Tell me about that.
Yes, a healing of the soul. So the first day of ministry, I think that was Monday, we visited the house of, there was one member of the church, Norma, and her husband, Joaquin. Mm-hmm. Norma had been praying for Joaquin for 23 years.
Oh boy.
So a long time.
A long time.
Norma was a faithful member of the church in Cuba, and her husband Joaquin, he said that he was in the process of accepting God, but he what the thing that was holding him back was going to church. He didn't like the church, and he said he didn't like the people of the church. So we talked to him about that. We presented the gospel, and I had felt this tug from the Holy Spirit to say something specific to Joaquin. And for context, I'd been praying beforehand that the Spirit would open me to him and I would be allowed for the Spirit to guide me in this trip, mm-hmm. and that I would listen to the Holy Spirit and not rely on myself. So I was hearing that, and I kind of put it off for a bit, and we started to pray, you know, kind of wrapping things up, praying for Joaquin and Norma and their family, and it seemed like we were about to go, and then I just stopped and asked one of the translators. I was like, hold on, can I say something to Joaquin real quick? And I accepted that call from the Spirit to say what I knew the Spirit was wanting me to say, nothing that I was doing, but all of the Spirit that had been placed in my mind and my soul to say to Joaquin. And I asked him, I was like, why wait? Why wait now? Because we don't have a lot of time on this earth. Why wait to accept the gospel? And I also explained to him the gospel and accepting Christ is not a process. You don't have to clean yourself up for God,
yeah.
but it's in transition from death to life.
Yeah.
It's a complete 180. And so I asked him, why wait? And then his whole demeanor changed and his heart was softened because it had been hardened since then. And he then accepted the gospel, right? And that then and there, not because of anything that I did or anything that we did, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit yeah. and his guidance.
Yeah. So you guys got to experience the whole group together. You guys got to experience a couple different forms of the Holy Spirit working in the lives of people, some healings, right? One got to experience a physical healing, mm-hmm. but it's temporary, and you got to see, right, a spiritual healing, but that's eternal. So I just think of, you know, when Jesus is just like, which one's harder to say, right? Your sins are forgiven or, you know, get up and walk. It's harder to say get up and walk because the person yeah. has to actually do it. But when Jesus says your sins are forgiven, I mean, that's moving from, as you said, death to life. So what an amazing statement for you to be able to say to this guy, right? You've been waiting for 23 years. Why wait any longer, right? That today is the day of salvation. Mm-hmm. So what a neat trip for you to be on and experience. What's it like, just mini-mester in general, from a student's perspective? It seems like it would be a little uncomfortable walking into a completely different culture, going right in the middle of your semester, right? You
for
know,
sure.
in the middle of reading, writing, and arithmetic and kind of, you know, traveling to a foreign country and you know, sharing the gospel with people that you don't even know. What's that like as a young person?
I think some of the school year in general, especially the Bible classes, is a sort of training. I know Mr. Rose's class this year has been very beneficial, and I was using that to kind of see this year and in our mini-mester trip the kind of worldviews that people had. Like, we visited another couple who I assumed were deists because they believed that if you were good, you could go to heaven, and that's a part of moral therapeutic deism that we learned in Ms. Rose's class. So it's really cool to see how you can implement those kind of things within the mini-mester trips, and it's cool that our school is able to do that kind of thing to prepare us for that. So I think that's very interesting.
Yeah. Wait till your government class when you say you've been to Cuba and you start studying the difference between the different forms of government. Right, and they bring up communism, and you'll be like, I've been
yes.
to a communist country.
Coach Childers was actually a leader in our trip, and he's the yeah. economics
yeah.
teacher.
One of the upper
yeah,
school
Yeah, so he was explaining
teachers.
A lot of
fascinating.
Fact.
So you feel like it's a good use of your time even as a student, where maybe it's not learning in the classroom, but it's definitely learning outside.
Oh, for sure. And then those experiences strengthen our faith as students, and also because that's a great impact on you when you go on a mission trip, it's often a greater impact for the person who's going on that trip than those who they impact.
Yeah.
And it's just very interesting to see, like, this is preparing you for real life and gospel conversations maybe throughout your day and even back here in school, hoping to implement those kind of things.
Yeah, what a great perspective. Looking forward to your next mini-mester trip next year because you've got two more to go. So,
yes.
Blake, appreciate you taking the time to share with us today.
No problem.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, we're here with Ashlyn Hardy. Ashlyn, you're a junior.
Yes.
And you've been on a number of different mini-mester trips. Mm-hmm. This year you got to go to the Amazon. Tell me about some of the other ones before we get to the Amazon, though. What did you do the last couple of years?
Yeah, so freshman year I did the 8th grade D.C. trip.
Mm-hmm. I went on that this year, by the way.
Okay, cool.
Love it.
And then
Did you like that? Did you enjoy the D.C. trip?
Yeah, it was really nice. It was cool to, like, sightsee and see all the, like, historical places there.
Yes.
And then last year I went on the Las Vegas mission trip with Mr. Rutherford. That one was really cool. We got to like serve in a church and pray over the city, which was really cool.
Okay. So why Amazon this year?
Well, I was feeling called to come to the Amazon and serve. I had friends that went on it last year, and they told me like incredible stories from going on the trip, and it just really piqued my interest. And, you know, I loved the whole aspect of like staying on the boat and going and visiting villages and really just evangelizing. So it was really something that piqued my interest.
Yeah, I thought the part when you said I love the idea of, and I thought you're going to get to, right, the people and the evangelism and all that, but you said the boat, right? The part about staying 10 days on a boat, sleeping in a hammock, interested you?
Yeah, it did interest me. I was a little worried about it at first, but it was actually, it was really great. I loved it a lot more than I expected. The hammocks were very comfortable, and it was just really great community, like with everyone on the boat, a great community of believers.
Yeah. And, now, the evangelism opportunity, I heard that you guys were kind of doing like an eyeglass station and different things like that. And you were able to use that to get into gospel conversations with people. What was that like?
So I worked the eyeglass station for like a full day in a village, and it was really intentional. It was like we would test their eyesight and then give them glasses, and then we would get to ask them if they've ever heard about Jesus. And it was just a great way to pivot towards like a gospel conversation. And we would get to hear their stories and just tell them about the love of Christ. And some of them had never heard it before. So it was a really great, great opportunity.
That's a pretty unique way of doing, right, the gospel conversations, as opposed to just going out or, you know, kind of, you know, do you know Jesus, right? You're actually providing a service for them and helping them, but you're giving them more than just eyesight for the temporary, but eyesight for the eternal. So kind of a neat thing. Anything else on the trip that happened that you thought was pretty unique and interesting?
One of my favorite memories from the trip was definitely the first night we did like a little church service in the first village. So we went in this little church in the middle of like their village, and like it didn't even have like four walls or anything. And we just got to worship with the villagers. And for a minute, like we were singing in English and they were all singing in Portuguese. And it was like God broke down the language barrier for a minute. So that was one of my favorite moments from
That's
the trip.
Such a cool, very unique experience. I know it was a little bit of rough travel, kind of getting down there and things like that. Did that ever worry you? Was there any time that you felt like, oh, this, you know, this could not happen, or this is a pretty big deal?
I was worried that our time was going to get cut short, but we only missed like half a day in a village because we got stuck in Florida. So, but other than that, I feel like the travel, like it didn't really put us that far behind. So it was,
And then just from a student perspective, right, as a young lady working on her grades and you know, grinding to get the work done as a student, what's it like to take kind of a week off from that and, you know, put that time into a mini-mester missions and evangelism? Do you think it's a valuable use of your time?
I think it was really valuable because I'm going to take so many things from this trip and bring it back to my life here, and especially like the community of everyone on the boat. Like our friendships are all so great now, and just all of the things that God taught me, I really want to bring back to just my everyday life, like of, you know, being a student at PCA. Like it's something that I really want to bring into my personal life too.
That's awesome. A great perspective. I'm glad you got to go to the Amazon. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
Okay, I've got Dr. David Steen with me. David, how long have you been at PCA?
This is my 21st year.
Oh, my goodness. You started like right out of college then.
Pretty close.
And you and your wife have had two students go through here.
Correct.
So you've done a lot of mini-mesters over the years. You've been on mini-mester trips. You've led mini-mester trips. You've been a parent with your kids on mini-mester trips. This year was a little bit different for you. You kind of shared. You went to a different place than you had been before and really kind of had a different experience. What was that like?
Yeah, so this year was unique for me in that it was the first time I ever got to travel to the continent of Africa, which I've been to some amazing places through the years with Minimaster, and really appreciative for all those opportunities, but kind of always wanted to get to go to Africa. And so this year it aligned to where that opportunity arose, and so I was excited to jump on it. And it's just an amazing experience.
Yeah. What kind of things were amazing from it? Like, what were your takeaways? A couple things I know. One, you talked a little bit about worship. Two, you talked about a Muslim woman. I want our parents to hear about both of those.
Yeah. So we had the opportunity to worship with the church there. And, you know, God has grown me through the years in my own personal worship and what that looks like and feels like to be able to just pour out that love to him in the way that he's poured out so lavishly on us. And so to be able to do that in a culture just so rich in that expressiveness and to just join our students, quite honestly, in feeling that freedom to worship just kind of you know, unrestrained and yeah, unapologetically, just expressing that love and adoration to God in that culture was just phenomenal. And as a result, I think as a result of our pouring ourselves out and just offering our lives as a sacrifice, living sacrifice to God, he honored that with some really amazing evangelistic opportunities throughout the week as well. One group in particular, we share with several Muslim families, and many of them, you know, understandably wanted more time to consider how to respond and what to do with Jesus. But the one that really made a huge impact on me was a woman who was a Muslim that, as we share with her, you could kind of see the interest peak and light up in her eyes. And she did pray to accept Christ. And as we were praying with her and for her, symbolically, and I think very with much weight and significance, she just pulled her hijab off and tossed it aside as we were praying with her. And then we saw her later in the village walking around with the head completely uncovered, and you could just tell it was amazing that God had given her a new life.
Yeah, that symbolic freedom of the symbolic, you know, the concept of the freedom in Christ, you know, where before she was covered, but like enslaved by lies. And yeah, so kind of an interesting perspective for you to see that and for our kids to be able to experience that. You also had some discipleship time where our boys were able to lead some discipleship. What was that like to see that?
Yeah, that was one of my personal highlights for the week, even though there were many of them. As we sat around with men ranging in age from probably 20 to 60, our four senior guys on the trip were asked to lead them in a short discipleship group. And they shared their testimonies. They shared why we were there. They shared a little bit about their favorite Bible story. And then, much to my terror, they opened it up for
questions.
Q&A. Yeah.
And you're like, oh,
exactly.
Are you sure?
And the funny thing about that was couple of the questions, as the gentleman asked, the local pastor was standing behind me, and he was kind of jabbing me in the back, kind of, I felt like saying, you know, you take that one. And I just felt, you know, God saying, you know, let's see what happens. And so I said, no, let's see how the guys do. And it was just super cool, because these 18-year-old guys gave some of the most, you know, wise counsel and great advice about being a father, being a husband, which they aren't, but just because of their walk with Christ and their the way they've been discipled, they had that wisdom to share with these men. And these men, you know, 30 years older than these guys, or more even, we're just hanging on their every word. And that to me was just a reflection of that being God's wisdom. And it was just really cool for us to see them being able to share from their heart just what God had taught them. Probably, honestly, a lot from watching the examples that they learned at home, right? Yeah. How they saw their dad treat them and their mothers. But then to be able to just pour that out in godly wisdom, and those Ugandan men just ate it up, and they hung on to their
What a unique experience.
So
that's pretty cool. You've been on a lot of trips. You've been here for a long time. which, by the way, I appreciate that. I mean, you've done a great job, not only in the classroom, but just with our students and walking alongside and training them. But Mini Muster is kind of a unique time to form those relationships that are different, because there's a lot of kids that you've got on Mini Muster trips that you haven't had in your classroom. And so you get to have kind of some different experiences. Just what's your overall perspective on just the Mini Muster program and that week outside the classroom, and how valuable it is for the students and for faculty?
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about difference makers at PCA, and there are a lot of them, but none of them comes anywhere close to Mini Muster. I think that it's the best thing we do, and hopefully we do a lot of things well, but it's the best thing we do. And what I mean by that is the best idea that we have, and then we execute it well as well. Yeah. And like you mentioned, this year, of the seniors that we took, I had only had less than half of them in the classroom ever. And so that was a great opportunity for me to get to know some of the seniors that I barely even knew their name going in.
Yep.
And to just be able to lock arms with them and serve and minister and worship with them in that way is an opportunity that we wouldn't have had. Yep. These guys would have walked across the stage and I would have barely known their name and very little more. And so we talked about many times, both our trip and hearing other students talk about it, how close you get in such a short period of time.
Yeah.
When it's that grave of a situation. And it's truly unique. And then just the educational side of it as well, to remind our students and reinforce for our students that we grow and we learn, not just in the classroom, but in our own daily lives, and then in these kinds of unique experiences, and just to try and get them to catch the fire of being a lifelong learner.
Yep.
And server. And Mini Muster is one of our opportunities to try and instill that in them.
Yeah, such a great perspective, and I appreciate you being able to share that and just what you learned on this particular trip. I'm glad you got to go on this one.
Thanks.
Thanks, David. Parents, I love these stories coming out of Mini Muster. Just seeing what our kids have done, what God has done in them and through them, and establishing them for life, right? Because that is the principle of what we want to accomplish here at PCA, and why your kids are here at PCA, why you want them here. And so Mini Muster program does an incredible job of doing that. There's some really neat stories. We're going to go up to the North Campus and hear how some of the lessons that students are learning in the classroom actually become practical life skills as they're doing missions work, using languages that they've learned to be able to share and connect with people and share the gospel. It's an incredible testimony. So let's listen to Josiah Isom tell us a little bit more about that.
For South Florida, I'm going to give a shout out to our upper school Spanish teacher. Mrs. Church was preparing our students on how to share the gospel in Spanish and how to pray over people in Spanish, because in South Florida, the majority of people speak Spanish down there. And so we were at a restaurant the second or third night. It was like a Puerto Rican restaurant. And Kate asked our waitress if she could pray for her, but pray for her in Spanish. And you saw in the video that Kate had the opportunity to pray for this young lady in Spanish. So Kate, tell us a little bit about that, how that started, that conversation with this young lady at the restaurant, and then a little bit about the prayer.
Yeah, so the first night we went to like a restaurant on the beach, and Dr. Williams was trying to share the gospel with one of the waitresses, and none of us like talked to our waitress, and so that just kind of like convicted me that maybe I should talk to the next one. And I'm in Spanish too, so I don't know a lot of Spanish, but I just asked her if I could pray for her, and the first time she was like a little bit hesitant, but then Miss Church kind of helped us out a little bit, and it was like a simple prayer, and obviously I was really nervous, but I think it meant more to her than like what I put in. So
yeah, it was awesome just seeing our students and all these trips step up and find that confidence, but to start talking about Jesus and having those conversations with, whether it was a waitress or our bus driver, or someone you saw at, you know, the Dream Center, just like that. And so real quick, tell our faculty as we wrap up here, what is something that God spoke to you or that you learned from Mini Muster Week this year?
For me, I wouldn't be the first person probably to ask how I can pray for them, especially in Spanish. So just like learning to take that step of faith and be bold, because that's what God calls us to do. And I shouldn't be worried about what I'm saying, because it shouldn't be my words, but it should be God's words. So.
So now we've got Julia Pickett. Julia, you're a senior. So congratulations, by
the way. Thank you.
Super excited. But you've been here for a long time, so you've kind of seen Minimester growing up from lower school through middle school, now into high school, and going on trips in high school. But before we talk about the trip you did this year, let's go back.
Okay.
Let's go back to what it was like Minimester. Do you remember as a like a lower school student and Boosterthon and Fun Run and all the things that kind of went into collecting things for the trips and things like that? Do you remember those things?
Yes, I remember Boosterthon and Fun Run and getting all the prizes. And they would come to our classrooms and talk to us about kind of what it was for. And then they would say, it's for your mission trips when you get in high school. And we didn't really know what that meant. And now it's really cool to be able to use those funds.
Yeah. Now, but you've gotten to go back into those classrooms, right? Now that you've returned from this trip or other trips, right? And I know, you know, Campbell was on the Amazon trip, Mike Campbell, and got to go back into the lower school chapel and the middle school chapels and talk about those things.
Yeah.
And so really, it's kind of a, it's not just you and that particular week. It's like the whole school, really for the whole year, planning and preparing for that particular week to go and do ministry.
We couldn't do it without the lower school.
Couldn't do it without the lower
school.
I love it. Yeah. So let's talk about your Minimester experience here in terms of the trips that you've gotten to take.
Yes.
This year was which one?
This one was Uganda.
Okay. So, and why did you choose Uganda this year?
I chose Uganda for a multitude of reasons. One, I mean, I've always kind of seen students go there for years, and so I was like, oh, I have to go there one time. And then second, I'm obsessed with this girl named Katie Majors, who actually, when she was 18 years old, picked up and left and moved to Uganda and started a school there. And then
and she wrote a book about it.
And she wrote a book about it.
Kisses from Katie. I know.
So I love her and her mission there. And then thirdly, I just thought it was a really amazing trip, and I've seen impact from it.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that happened while you were in Uganda, right, several amazing things I want to talk about, but one really kind of unique from a PCA perspective, tell me about the water well.
Okay, so a little backstory. So in October, we raised money for clean water in Uganda by selling these Hawaiian lays, and it did really well. And
during homecoming,
during homecoming week, so it's kind of like a way to take the attention off of the students and homecoming and kind of bring it back to what really matters, which is the Lord. And we got to kind of talk about how Jesus is our eternal living water during that week. And so it was really amazing to be able to go to Uganda, which I didn't even know I was going to be able to go to Uganda when we were raising the money. And then we got to go to Uganda. We got to cut the ribbon and dedicate the well to them, talked to like the engineers, and we got to see just the excitement on the people of the village face, and it made it all worth it. And we got to walk like a mile towards where we, towards where they get the water.
Yeah,
and
something we take for granted.
Yes, and it was
right, that you got
not
to see
good
how
water.
Powerful was, that is over there.
Yes, and we were like, wow, we take for granted being able to go downstairs and, you know, get a water out of our fridge, you know?
Yep.
And so that was one of the coolest things I've ever done. And then they allowed us to like stand around it and pump the water for the village.
So cool.
And the yellow jugs that you probably see on photos.
Yep.
And literally after we did that, we talked about it for hours, just how cool it was to be able to be there and do that and experience that and kind of tell them that like, yes, this water is important, but like we want to show you where your eternal value lies.
Yeah, so you got to do some evangelism through that as well.
Yeah, we got to do some evangelism.
Tell me about that.
So I kind of got to talk to a couple of the people who get water for them if it doesn't rain, which is a whole other story.
Oh, wow.
And we kind of got to share the gospel with them and talk to them about like why we do it. Because they were like, why do y'all come this far to tell people about Jesus? And so we got to explain that to them and be like, this is our whole mission for our whole life. And so it was cool to see their questioning. And then when we would answer, they would be like, yeah, like we want to hear about that. And then we got to share the gospel through those stories. And then we also got to do door-to-door evangelism, which is a whole another thing to talk about.
I love it.
Yeah.
Other than Uganda, what were some trips that you've taken in the previous years?
So last year, we were supposed to go to Chiapas, but then, Lord willing, it got canceled, and we went to Costa Rica. And that was one of my favorite trips, too. I mean, we met this guy who was sitting on a park bench. I don't know if you've heard the story.
I have.
Yes, and he was praying for just, if God, if you are real, like, will you give me
careful what you
sign?
Ask for. Here we go. Ready? Exactly. God, if you're real, give
if
me
God,
a sign.
Real.
And what happened?
And then 18 group of white green guys or girls show up, and he's like, wow.
Yeah.
I want to hear about this story.
Yeah.
And that was, we were all so amazed
by that. So
he
asked God to give him a sign.
God to give him a sign, and then
we all walk up. 18 girls
from PCA walk up. Yep, and we got to tell him about Jesus and our stories and pray over him with our leaders, and that was definitely the highlight of the trip, and that was why we were supposed to go to Costa Rica.
Yeah. Now, I will say, when you went to Uganda, it is a long trip.
Oh, goodness,
It's tiring. Mm-hmm. It's long. And really, you know, spring break is a lot of recovering from mini-mester.
Very much so.
Is it worth it?
1,000%.
Okay.
We would all say we would do it again. It was a 4.5 bus ride, and then it was a 6-hour flight, and then a 2-hour layover, and then another 17-hour plane ride. But if you ask any of us, we would all do it again next week, you know? But it definitely took a lot of recovery.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so good. So good. I'm glad you got to share. I'm glad you got to spend 15 years here. We've loved having you as part of the community and watch you grow up into the young woman that you are. We're excited about your next phase. I know. But we're excited because you're prepared and ready for where God is taking you.
Thank you.
So, Julia, thanks for your time and thanks for sharing.
Of course.
All right. I've got AJ DiPaolo with me. AJ, senior year this year, right?
Yes,
we were just talking about you're in your last quarter of your time here at PCA. Super excited about that for you. I want to talk a little bit about just mini-mester from a spring sports perspective, because one of the things is you're literally right in the middle of baseball, right? You know, all of a sudden you got a spring break, which is kind of a normal thing, but we add a mini-mester component to it. So you've got a week where, depending on your sport, right, winter sports kind of coming into basketball, soccer, they might be playing for a state playoff, right? They might be having a state championship, and they've got a pick between mini-mester and playing in that game. Baseball, right, you're in the middle of your season. All of a sudden you've got these 2 weeks. What's it like from a athlete's perspective, right, having the mini-mester component? And do you think it's a valuable thing or kind of a detriment from a sports perspective for you as a student here at PCA?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's very valuable. We had the choice as seniors to go to, like, Costa Rica if we wanted to, or anywhere for that matter. But, I mean, it just gave us, like, a nice week. We got to go serve our community, and we served here, and then I had some buddies go to Puerto Rico, and, like, we made the same difference, like, same impact.
Yeah.
That's a good word.
Yeah, I love that.
Same impact as they did there, and got to see how we could help people around here, because, I mean, everyone's going through something around here,
too. What was the local mission that you did while you were here this year?
So we went to Frisco Family Services, and the first day we were helping out in, like the actual building of it, and, like, sorting food. And then the next day we were at St. Timothy, and we got to go to their PE, which was cool.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, got pegged with a few dodgeballs, but and then the next day we went back and cleaned out.
Wait,
the
you played dodgeball?
Well, no.
As a baseball player.
So we were playing.
You weren't throwing dodgeballs at him, were you?
No. we were playing at jam, which is like, there's a bunch of baskets and you got to throw them in. And then they just start throwing them at me.
There you go. But you're a catcher.
Mm-hmm.
You should have caught them all.
I should never have gotten pegged.
Come on, man. That's all. You mentioned when you and I were talking before that your sophomore year, you actually got to do a mini-mester trip. What did you guys pick then?
Me and my buddies went to Pittsburgh because we were sophomores, so we didn't get the first pick of the litter. But we wanted to go somewhere together, so we got to go to Pittsburgh and just go serve out there. We served at a church with a green door.
I love it. Good memory of that church, right? Remember that church in Pittsburgh with the green door?
It was fun.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. But you, from an athlete's perspective, you think that this is still a valuable experience, right, for the students, regardless of if it's a kind of an interference in your season.
Absolutely. I mean, it gets us out of our little bubble that we live in.
Yeah.
We get to go see how other people do life and see how grateful and see how lucky we are and how grateful we should be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I will say, let's just throw this in there because you're wearing, it's a college day. You're getting to wear your Vandy shirt today.
Yes, sir.
So good luck in the next stage of your career at Vanderbilt. We'll be watching you play there.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time, AJ.
Of course.
All right. I've got Abby Kate Jacobs, right? And first time I've ever called you Abby Kate was today, yes. Right? Because you usually go by AK.
Yes, sir.
You're one of our basketball players, mm-hmm. One of our students, athletes. You got to go on you're a senior.
I'm a junior.
Junior. Sorry yes, about sir. That. Yep, junior. You got to go on a mini muster trip to the Dominican Republic.
Yes.
And why did you choose the DR?
I went there last year, and I just really wanted to go back with a new group and to just have new opportunities and get to see some of the people that I saw last year just to, like, I just think that would be – it was a really cool opportunity.
Why did you go last year?
Last year, it was my first year at PCA, and it was just, like, a team thing that we got to do. And, as a sophomore, like, why pass up that opportunity to go – internationally and do something that I've never done before.
Okay. So in the midst of kind of the end of your basketball season, mm-hmm. We throw mini muster at you.
Yes.
What's that like as a student athlete to have that kind of at the end of a mm-hmm. season in terms of, right, with everything else yeah. going on, it's a pretty big load to add mm-hmm. to. I mean, to travel down to, you know, a foreign country and yeah. to go through all that, right? Well, how did you take that in terms of, like, its value?
For me, just basketball season, like, state is the day before you leave for DR, technically, and that's how it's been the past years. And so for us, like, it is a lot, but also it's, like, for us, when it's our last game, mm-hmm. it's usually pretty emotional and sad. But for us, we're, like, we still got four more in Dominican. So, that's like, right. it's really just another opportunity to play as a team together and, like, it doesn't make the end as sad, you know? So
it's kind of a good way to look at yeah. it. Yeah, win or lose, we got the DR.
We still got the DR, yeah.
Yes. Tell me about the time that you were down there other than basketball. Mm-hmm. What other kind of things did you guys get to do?
Last year we didn't have the opportunity to, but this year we visited a disability orphanage. Mm-hmm. And, like, it really moved me. I have a brother who has cerebral palsy. So seeing the kids there and just, like, their joy and, like, just, like, love for life, even though they are disabled and, like, don't have all the opportunities we have, like, it just really gave you, like, perspective and mm-hmm. like really, like, made you feel grateful for everything you have and just even your God-given, like, abilities to walk, like yeah. you know, you take those for granted, but that really moved me and I think a lot of my teammates too.
That's really special. Yeah. I love that. What do you think as far as just the overall time spent and invested in this from a school's perspective? Yeah. There's a lot of different things we can do with that time. Mm-hmm. You know, more schooling, which is always yeah. important and good, or just other things. But sending thousands of kids to different places, not only, mm-hmm. you know, locally, but, you know, across the world.
Yeah.
What do you think, just from your perspective and what you've seen and experienced as far as the value of just the mini-mester program?
I think that it's really important, and it's one of the reasons I came to Prestonwood. Like, that really stood out to me, because I grew up always traveling and just going across the world, and that really just changes your perspective on life. And just, like, I think it's a really good opportunity for kids my age to be able to do, because it just makes you kind of branch outside the bubble, I would mm-hmm. say, and just, like, really get to experience different cultures. Like, yes, we're sharing the gospel with them, but also we get so much from that the people that we travel to as
yeah,
well. So
that's a really good perspective yeah. on it. Awesome. Abby Kate,
yes.
thanks for your time
yeah.
and thanks for all that you do for our school,
yes,
not just on the court, but off the court.
Thank you.
And representing our school so well and everything you do. Appreciate
Thank you.
Your time.
You too.
All right, parents, we have just listened to a number of different testimonies about mini-mester. And yeah. Dr. Goddard, I wanted to ask you, because when you came in here a few years ago, I'm sure mini-mester was one of those things
yeah.
That you looked at and you said, what's this? Why do we do it?
Yeah.
And when you found out that, I mean, literally you're taking the entire upper school, middle school, upper school, everybody,
yeah.
and basically sending them to, you know, corners of the earth. Right? The idea of, do we need to keep this going? Like, mm-hmm. what's the impact on this? So
yeah.
now that you've been here for years, you've been on a few of the trips,
yeah.
right? What's your overall impression on the mini-mester
well,
program?
Yeah, it's just like you talked about. I was nervous. Yeah. I used to get nervous sending kindergartners to the zoo, you know? I mean, so you're just thinking,
yeah.
what
we'll
are we doing?
Send kids to the Amazon in Uganda,
yeah,
sure.
And be on a boat for a week
yeah.
or go to Germany or even just local missions or even going to Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
You know, you just get one of those pieces. And it is... it's interesting, and I even asked, you know, Larry Taylor, who really kind of initiated this idea years back of going out on mission and teaching how to do that. And just there's a real peace that came from that part about hearing about the purposes of it and
yeah.
really about not just talking about what it means to serve the Lord or even to share Christ, but to do it. And, oh, my goodness. Now, I've done three of them with kids. The first one I did was with a little bit of an older set of kids, mm-hmm. so it was sophomore, juniors. I came back from that trip. That was in Colorado, and the bond that you have with kids far surpassed anything I had done in 25 years prior in education.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Then I went with seniors on an international trip in Greece, which they're on the back end of their time with us, and they're kind of closing, and just to hear their heart and things that they loved about PCA, things they were stressed about going forward, and just to be able to, oh my goodness, be in a very stretching opportunity of sharing Christ in the middle of Athens with three seniors, where many refugees had just arrived, and it was, you talk about stretching your faith and just being connected, and again bonding as well. And then just now, I went with 31 kiddos, 25 of those were female and freshmen. Girls were 23 of those, and so
lots of energy.
Man, the volume is that in itself was incredible, and so. But oh my, those are like my kids now, and so you connect with them in a different way. They're all my kids, but now you just have this different connection, and all of it centered around, I would say, two things. One is you use the conduit of serving to be able to bond and to recognize it's not about me.
Yeah, and so
then,
important.
Yeah, and then two was how can I become confident in my faith and be secure in my faith so that I could share what my faith is all about with someone else.
Yeah.
Now you walk away with that, those two things, that's where all these great stories that we've been hearing about, that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Is it centered in that? And it's not solely just about what kind of other activities did or even the location, because what you find out is that people are hungry for Christ and the truth all over the world.
Yeah. I wish we could tell more of the stories, right? My wife on the sixth grade team, they had 36 students commit or recommit their life to Christ during that trip. Seventh grade, right? Man camp and the girls where they get to work and really get their hands dirty and just bond together during that time is always interesting. Yeah. I went on the eighth grade DC trip.
Yeah.
Always powerful stories from that, getting to see, you know, just God's hand at work through the history of our country. And then high school. High school is just incredible. All the different stories from local, 18 different locations, right? 10 international, 8 domestic. It's so amazing.
Yeah.
But the thing that kind of I love about Minimester is that it's not just a week-long program. It's kind of all year long.
Yeah, you're building up
as the lower schools involved, right? They're doing booster, thon, fun run, getting ready to prepare for the trips that they're going to go on years later. They're collecting materials and supporting the mission trips as they're going through.
Yeah.
And then those students, when they go on the trips, they go back to the lower school and middle school, and they give them updates.
Yeah.
And they tell them, hey, this is what God did. This is what we see, saw God do. And so, you know, as we're building water wells in Uganda, things like that, right? It's like the whole community gets to be a part of that particular program. And it really lasts all year long. I mean, H2O Co., we're raising money, right? Homecoming for trips later on. And that's one of the things I love about the Minimester program. Yeah. It's more than just a week-long mission trip. Mm-hmm. But even if it were just that, it really is that week is such an important bonding time. And I think our kids actually get more out of it than they give away to the communities
we go
to.
100% yes. Yeah. I would say, especially when I started talking to alumni about their best things, every one of them, to a T, talks about Minimester.
Yeah. They can tell you every trip they went on, where they went.
And everything they went to and all those other pieces.
Yeah.
And you just, I mean, I think you hit it right, is we're setting up the stage for them not to just have the 1 week, but to be prepared for that 1 week. So, for example, I was just in a couple of our younger classes, and they were learning the Roman road and really the plan of salvation in that. And what does that mean? And so that was like in second grade, third grade, they were doing that. And so you just start building on that capacity. And it's not just a Bible course you take. It's not just hours that you got to put in to volunteer for graduation credits or anything like that. It is really about what does it mean to live for Christ? Because, see, this is our ultimate measure.
Yeah.
I've shared this before on our podcast. Our ultimate measure isn't whether or not a kid graduates.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, that's a very low bar. Our ultimate measure isn't whether or not they get the right GPA or they get into the right school. That can be done, and a lot of places do that well. Our ultimate measure is, as we're assisting Christian parents in this walk and in this journey of faith, are they, as students that graduate, as they walk out that door, I shake their hand, hug their neck, and we push them out that door, 5, 10 years later, are they walking with Christ?
Yep.
Are they godly moms and dads? Are they godly husbands and fathers? Are they engaged with a fellowship of the church? Are they doing the very same things we talked about at Minimester Do they have that practical exam? Are they doing it? That's the true measure of what we're all about.
Yeah, and you can see how mini-mester, even though it takes that week out in the middle of, you know, either at the end of winter sports or in the middle of spring sports, it takes a week out of, you know, academic. When you're talking about what are we really measuring, you can see how the mini-mester program fulfills that particular desire of training students to be successful in life from God's standards and in God's economy.
So, yeah, it's unbelievable, and I love how you put it, because it's always disruptive of something. Something's going on all the time, right?
And in the trips, 18 trips, something's always going to go wrong.
Oh, my goodness,
like, we'll come back, and it's like, oh, that was great, but, oh, did you hear about this trip? Did you hear about that trip? And you're like, yes, but in totality, every year, right, the good and the eternal good far outweigh the inconveniences and the little disruptions.
But it's a life lesson, Dan, that I think is so powerful for our kids, because you can talk about it. But what we do as parents now is we try to make life as very comfortable as for our kids as we can possible.
Yep.
When they meet a level of discomfort is really when they probably learn the most.
Sure.
So I even think of, even not this last year, but the year before, our luggage for one of our international trips didn't show up.
Yep.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. Buy clothes.
Right? You're going to wear the same clothes for 7 days? You're going to find a way to do it?
We had flights that were missed this year. We had people who were delayed for hours sitting in an airport.
Man, kids learn those lessons on what you do and how do you engage with it. Because maybe most of us that didn't have that kind of experience, it's not until you're in that moment and a lot of us messing up and getting things. I mean, our kids learn a level of resilience, not only just in a practical level, but a resilience in their faith too. Because think how powerful it is that when you are going to share your faith with someone and they just shut you down. Mm. I've had that happen with kids as we're out there with them. They just shut us down. They don't want any part of it. Okay, so let's talk about that. So what do you do with that? Do you keep pushing? Do you keep pushing? Or do you back off, and then you find ways to serve them in that way, and then you do build a relationship with those other parts? And so you have some really – like the conversations on Mini-Mester are so rich that I never, as a teacher or an educator for 25 years before, had those kind of conversations within the four walls of the classroom.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that the kids really take away from it is their mission field is wherever their feet are.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go across an ocean, right? You can do ministry right here. You can serve in your backyard. In fact, that's where you need to be starting.
Yes, yeah.
Right?
Which is why we do locals, right? I mean, there's a method to the madness around it. And learning about local, and many kids are surprised. This is right here?
Yeah.
Yeah, 30 minutes away, you could feed the homeless. You can feed people who don't have what we do. I mean, you don't have to go to Greece or Germany or Russia or whatever else it may be. Now, granted, they need Jesus over there as well. I need people to be able to serve and be the light to them. But you're right. They learn in a very practical way that your neighbor next door is your opportunity to shine for Christ.
Yeah. Incredible opportunity. Dr. Goddard, thanks for keeping the program going strong and even better than bigger and better than
And the
than
need
before.
Is greater, Dan. So greater. That's one thing parents can be praying for now is don't wait until the moment when you're signing up. I mean, just be getting prepared because the need is great. I think we've discovered that we think the world is saturated with Christ, and it's not.
No.
And we have an opportunity to go out and shine as a bright light in a very, very dark world that's getting darker by the day.
Yeah.
Through this opportunity of a mini-mester and really as a school and collectively as a lighthouse for Christ each and every day. And so
I'm glad you use the word opportunity. I'd say opportunity and responsibility.
Absolutely.
I think both, right? It is an opportunity and we want to continue to do this, but really we have a responsibility. That is the Great Commission, right? To go and make disciples.
Yes. And the responsibility to build those faith-filled lions.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Goddard.
All right, buddy.
Thank you for investing the time to listen to this episode of The Journey. Please take a minute to share with friends and family who will also benefit from this valuable resource. And don't forget to rate and review this podcast on your favorite podcast app. It is truly our blessing and honor to walk with you on The Journey.